Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. It is Friday, March 29th, with your SmackDown review here on Fightful. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm here with Alex Cardoza tonight. Alex, how are you?
I mean, there was a show of almost, well, clavicles, yeah. A third of a shirt won today.
Of course, yeah.
We had a Jean Grey lookalike with Isla Dawn, and it was... They fed me tonight.
Thank you, WWE. They did. We got a card that mostly was focused on the mid card today, which is kind of refreshing because it's been rightfully so, but it's been heavily focused on the world title picture. So nice to see them switching up a little bit, getting that mid card ready for WrestleMania. But we've got so much to talk about as this is going on. Black Label Pro has their show going on Triller TV, what was formerly Fight TV. Might want to keep an eye on the Battle Royal that's going to be coming up over there. If you are joining us, keep an eye out for some familiar faces that you might want to boo during that Battle Royal. But we're not talking about Black Label Pro as much as I would love to, although great match with Cardona and Nemeth, great match with Effie and Dan the Dad versus Mansoor and Mason. But we are here to talk some SmackDown. So get in those super chats, get in those humper chats, leave a thumbs up on this video. And of course, we'll remind you to go over and subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Going to be a lot coming out of WrestleMania weekend, a lot happening in AEW, tons of contract news coming up. A lot of TNA clarification this week with Killer Kelly and AJ Francis and those contract situations. So keep an eye out for all of that. And most importantly, it's our moderator, Luis's birthday today. Happy birthday, Luis.
Hell yes. Happy birthday, Luis.
Everybody in the chat, light it up for Luis. He is one of the most integral parts of what we do. Cheers to you, our good friends here. I try to give Luis as much credit as possible for what he does here, but it's so much more than just keeping assholes out of the chat.
You are Latino. Let's go.
That's what's up. He does some coverage on Fightful as well. He keeps our chats organized for us and lays out the segments, and he's always so proactive with helping us get stuff about Rampage when we're on or whatever. So he's just so wonderful at not only doing his job but keeping an eye out for things that are much beyond his job title, and honestly he's the reason I'm able to do what I do and feel safe. So
thank you, Luis. He's kept those pesky sex spots away.
Don't say the word. Birthday in bio. Happy birthday, Luis. We are so thankful to have you here. But see, now the chat's lighting up with it, as they should.
Oh, Lord.
Luis is just the best. But we're going to talk some SmackDown. It was solid tonight going into Mania. I didn't feel like there was anything overwhelmingly outstanding. I didn't think there was anything that was certainly nothing that seemed bad or kind of like out of place entirely on the show. We got some breakthroughs. My only thing was, because there were a lot of kind of talk heavy segments, I'm going to complain about match times a little bit, but more, I'm actually kind of bummed because there was no room for the matches not to get broken up by commercials. So I feel like the pacing of it was a little bit disjointed. But other than that, no kind of overall complaints. What did you think of SmackDown tonight?
You know, whenever you talk about match times, you know where that gets you. So I know. Be very, very careful.
Well, what was more, when you have so many speaking segments,
yeah,
you can't do commercial breaks during speaking segments, right? So that's kind of what stuck the matches to me today. It wasn't even the time as much as it was just them being broken up by the commercials, like kind of ruined the flow of watching them for me. But what did you think of SmackDown overall?
Yeah, super promo heavy from what I gathered there. But you know what? A lot of good stuff in between.
I really enjoyed. It was productive promos too, because we need some clarity around what's going on in the mid-card. So I'm glad that we got that as we're heading into WrestleMania. So let's dive in to our episode of SmackDown tonight.
Let's go.
We kick off with Owens and Orton versus Pretty Deadly, who I know you love and I love as well. They're just such a riot. They're so much fun. And then they get in the ring and they're badasses, man. Like, and they're in tandem with each other all the time. Like, I love how much they feel like a joint act in the same way, in a very different way presentation-wise, but in the same way that FTR feels so, like, reading each other's minds all the times and constantly working together in, like, a true tag team. I feel that way with Pretty Deadly, where we get so much tandem offense and so many spots that are like, I see where you're going. I'm going to go there to help you out. I love that kind of stuff. I love the psychology of tag team wrestling. Pretty Deadly, though incredibly silly, has really, really mastered that from an in-ring perspective. Owens and Orton, we didn't get a can they coexist story, which was nice. They were on the same page in this, that pesky Logan Paul jumped in here. But what I appreciated was they were trying to win the match together. They were not in this very tired archetype that we often get with these, we're going to have an individual match against each other soon enough. Can we be a tag team? No, these are two guys that were professionals who wanted to beat up Pretty Deadly. And they don't like Logan Paul very much, who interferes here. But a really solid match. I loved the Manhattan drop into the DDT from KO on this. But this ultimately ends with shenanigans from Logan Paul. Power of the punch behind the ref's back to lay out Owens, which gives Wilson an opportunity for a schoolboy, and that's what we get here. And there's some drama after the match a little bit, but what did you think of the match to start?
I was super pumped when they won, I'll tell you that right now, when Pretty Deadly just got in there. And they're just so damn good in the ring. Like, when you, like, just peel back their their outrageous but awesome gimmick, they're just so damn good. So First of all, their win deserves a little clavicle, baby. What's good? Look at this. I gave you two clavicles on a Friday night for the price of nothing, okay? You guys didn't even have to super chat it. I had to. Look.
Happy birthday to Luis, man.
Luis, I got you your private check your DMs real quick.
A clavicle show in the DMs. I got a clavicle show, baby. My God.
Great. I love them. And to your point, the Randy Orton and KO, it didn't seem like there was any friction there, which is new, because there's always friction whenever it's two guys that you know are going to be in a match, which is great. Next week could be different, but you know.
Sure. And I think what's kind of refreshing about it is, like, they do have a common enemy in Logan Paul. Like, they are both, I think, on the side of Logan Paul not winning. In the ring, they will be on the sides of themselves winning, of course, but it's nice to see them not do the traditional can they coexist trope to, like, the ridiculous extent that we normally get where it ends in DQ because everything breaks down between them. No, like, I have that complaint time and time again because it's so tired. They didn't do that this time, which was really nice. And then we get a little post-match action, which was very fun with Randy Orton seeing the recap on the big screen and waking up Owen so that they can kind of go beat up Logan Paul together, which I loved. Pretty Deadly come in to help out Logan Paul. Seems like maybe they had worked out a little bit of an underhanded deal before this match even started. But you get this really nice succession of a stunner and an RKO sold extremely well by both guys in Pretty Deadly. I loved the sells from both of them. And then Orton goes to find Logan Paul eventually after this, after the good guys are kind of standing tall, but Logan Paul drives off. So Orton still trying to get his hands on Logan Paul and can't here, but I loved in the post-match when we got like Stunner, RKO, and those cells from Pretty Deadly, I think really drove home the impact of it. Again, my only real complaint about this was the commercial break, but other than that, some good stuff with the match and the post-match here. Any thoughts on our ending here?
No, I mean, anytime anyone could punch the Paul brother in the face, I'm happy with. So I hope he gets what's coming to him.
Not a bad day. Not a bad day at the office. No. Kim Gray, always so kind to us out here, saying, supporting my peeps, hyped for this week. I'm excited, too. I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm excited to go and watch wrestling and hang out with some friends.
It's Mania, baby.
It's Mania week.
14 hours a day for 2 days of wrestling.
It's going to be a lot, but it'll be fun. It's a fun work week for sure, but Bad Robot, who's not bad at all, who's actually really nice, says, favorite time of the week. Hello, best post show. Well, hello to you. I hope Alex had a great birthday. And my gosh, that's right. We had successive birthdays. We had your birthday last week. We have Luis's birthday tonight. Love that for us here at Fightful. Kate enjoys opening day weekend. I liked my Yankees winning yesterday, even though it was ugly. Loved seeing all the women tonight. The SmackDown women's division is so strong. Both of the divisions are strong, man. It's just a matter of the programming. And we got a lot of women's wrestling tonight. We finally get Jade Cargill making a statement in tonight's episode. But yes, agreed. So good stuff. And thank you for the support. We appreciate it.
That just goes to show your Hispanic parents just love getting it on in July or in the summer. Summer of love, baby. Us March babies.
If I seem distracted, it's because I'm getting yelled at about a potential scoop from our own Corey Brennan here, who has some notes for us, but we'll wait for those. Corey, you can deliver that how you want. If you want to type up notes or if you want to come on, you are more than welcome to do so. So
here feel we go.
Free to let me know.
Wait, no, that's copyrighted. Sorry.
No, I can. My internet is very iffy, but like I can start to play our own intros. I think I'm okay with those, but we move on to what I thought was a very effective segment and what I think is a very refreshing change in the direction of the production. We have seen these changes of where promos are taking place and how interviews are being done. I loved this segment with Io Sky and Bayley. Really good stuff, but Io and Japanese just kind of with an overall statement about why they broke away from Bayley, a little bit more context, saying that she talks about Bayley using herself and Dakota to retain relevance, which I thought was nice. It calls her a narcissist, which is a very gaslighty perfect term for Bayley, who is clearly not, but like to paint the evil picture, I think, of Io and Dakota, I think that was very effective. She says, now we're all supposed to feel sorry for her. The hypocrisy of the fans disgusts her. Basically just reiterating that Damage Control outgrew Bayley. And then we get Bayley attacking in this. And I, as much as I liked the content of the segment, that was good. It was solid. I don't think there was anything overly revealing. But I do think that as much of the value was just in the way that it was delivered. I loved that we got this sit down in a refreshed environment and Bayley attacking there in the less obvious way than we have seen. Those production value things continuing to show up, making a lot of sense. I loved it. What did you think?
I love the physicality of it all. It was just perfect. The way Bayley just jumped. I mean, they destroyed everything in sight. I'm, you know, I don't know. Like, this match to me, the match with Bayley, might be my like my pick of the night, like to be the best match for me to watch, because the storytelling has been on point and just everything's been hitting on all cylinders with them. And I think this might be my match. Like, yeah, cool, we're gonna have all, you know, blood sport or bloodline or blood something, blood thinners. That's been going on now for 3 years. That this is refreshing to me, you know, main event, plain and simple.
I 100% agree with you.
She's putting her bun up, which means something's about to happen. She's about to punch someone in the mouth, because I've seen that happen in the hood before.
Well, hold on.
Or she has scoops.
Don't tell. OK, I like to remain undercover with all of my badassery.
Right. I've seen you.
No, my hair's just having a long day today. The bangs are a mess. We're doing our best out here, but
love it.
This has been my favorite story going into Mania too. I'm also just a Bayley gal. Like I love Bayley. I find her very easy to be emotionally invested in the same way that I find like a Sami Zayn to be emotionally invested in on the Raw side and the men's side. Mark Briscoe, I feel like, has become that in AEW for me, where I'm like, I don't always love underdog baby faces, but when those people are doing it, I sure do.
I sure do.
So yeah, I'm with you. I'm very invested in this story, and I think it's what I'm looking forward to most on Mania from a story perspective as well.
Hell yeah.
So some good stuff there that made me very happy. And we move along to some backstages. Oh no, I'm sorry. We move along to our Jade Cargill segment before we go backstage. Very, very cool stuff to see Jade. She's been around. She had her Rumble appearance and she looked great in Rumble. But tonight was kind of the first night that it feels like she found a home. We have clarity about where she's going to be in WWE. Tonight, we got a whole lot of clarity about what she's going to be doing as well going into Mania. And you have Nick Aldis saying he's got some big business to take care of. And Jade, who arrives with a very cool Storm entrance behind her. And bright red gear, always looks like $1 million. Such incredible presence.
Yeah.
We've known and loved that about Jade for a while. We get to see it showing up in full force here on SmackDown. The promo doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. What we get later, I think, is the bigger value. But she basically kind of just says, like, I'm here. I'm on SmackDown. I signed my SmackDown contract. Mm-hmm. SmackDown is one of the best women's rosters in the world, but nobody on that roster is Jade Cargill. So this was more, I think, about getting her in front of a live crowd in the most situated way that we've seen from her, which is good and necessary. But I think what happens later is kind of like the real aces about what we get with Jade. But what did you think of the segment while I plug in my computer charger?
Listen, you go plug in your computer because I got lots, lots to say about Jade. Okay.
Go on.
She is such a presence. But those heels made her look like she was another like foot and a half taller. So she felt like she was like 7'6" out there. She looks strong. She looks great. Genuinely happy for her. I believe that this new wrestling bubble that we're in with all these companies and all the amazing ways that women and men can move between companies and get their worth and do what they want to do and excel any way that they can. There is no right or wrong where you go, who you choose, where you want to do your business at. It's just you being you, and she is that, man. And please, she can powerbomb me any day of the week.
That was, what was it? Steph on me, Jade, right? Where all the signs
100%. I would, listen, if WWE needs an extra to play like a security guard that gets like beat up, stepped on, whatever.
Alex throwing his hat in the ring for indie wrestler security guard number 7.
I am indie wrestler number
Delgado saying the bangs are fantastic as always. Thank you so much, but they're not, because you see this? See how these ones just went rogue while these ones are all twisty?
It's part of the show. They're showing off right now. That guy's watching you, that from the, you know, from the food place or coffee place he's on right now. He loves your bangs.
Someone bought me a little treat while I was at the coffee shop, a dude who was also in the coffee shop, and left his number, which would have been a really cool move if I hadn't seen him picking his nose real hard and being rude to the wait staff earlier. So no thank you. But a great like pickup move, but like make sure that the girl doesn't see you with your finger halfway. This was not like a Seinfeld, it was an itch on the outside situation.
No,
he was like a full knuckle deep into his nose. It was so gross.
And
so
it wasn't fellas, me.
If you're like,
I do it with my eyes closed like that.
If you're looking for like a cool pickup move, paying for a girl's meal and just being like, hey, and leaving your number is cool, but just make sure no one's seen you like invested in picking your nose.
I went to a coffee shop with Kate. I bought her coffee. I had a treat as well while we sat there and ate. Not once did I pick my nose.
No, not you were very normal.
We spoke. We were just like two wrestling, humans.
We hung out.
Wow, like what a thing. She has my number now.
It's true. And it led you to a hot date with Fightful. And now here you are.
That's
so
it. That's then the next thing you know, I'm slapping people in the mouth when she left.
That's the story. That's the story of how I landed my co-host.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, man. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video if you'd be so kind. I'm seeing the numbers go up, and we appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting. I'll also remind you, since there's a lot more of you here now than were at the beginning of the show, of a couple things. One, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com for the latest and greatest scoops in the whole wide world. You guys know that. Two, Sean's probably fighting on Triller TV right now at a battle royale. But three, and most importantly, it's our moderator Luis's birthday. So give him all the love in the world.
Yes. Buy him a coffee by.
Yeah, but and don't be weird.
Yeah, just
buy a coffee for someone and don't be weird. Those are the vibes that we want for the weekend.
Wash your hands.
Well, just wash your hands. Be nice to the waitstaff. That's all we ask. But we move backstage to Dakota Kai, who gives this quick little promo, but very effective, in saying that she doesn't really care about Jade because all Jade does is talk. And she doesn't really care about Bayley because all Bayley, she knows Bayley's going to lose at Mania. And she says, you think Bianca would have learned her lesson at this point, but she's looking forward to facing her later on SmackDown. So good stuff from Dakota. I like this. Anything you want to comment on? Not a ton to say, but
she, I mean, she put it on right for everyone to see. Jade hasn't done anything. Yeah, you're right. And that's why she, you know, later on beat your ass.
Yeah. So she tempted fate with this promo. She did have the Royal Rumble appearance. But that was about it from in-ring. And then we got to see what she's there to do tonight, which looked good. So we also finally, Alex, have Nick Aldis walking in back, and he runs into.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who looks amazing. Just nothing really happens, but they're on television. Our unholy union is briefly there. Hopefully they're involved in the tag picture of in some way. And then we have Nick Aldis running into AJ Styles, and AJ wants to confirm LA Knight isn't there. And Aldis says, hey, I asked him to stay home. And AJ's like, oh, brother. That's not going to be enough. And he's right. He's right later in the show. But we'll move into our tag team match between Grayson Waller and Austin Theory against the Street Profits, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. If there is anything that has been more stuck in the mud than the storyline.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's their fault. I feel like they keep getting derailed by like time for The Rock and the main roster or the like main title picture and all that kind of stuff. And it took so long to get going, but it just feels like it's dragging on. But the match itself was very good. So we have a lot of great work in here from Grayson Waller, and the Street Profits are always incredible. You had kind of one of those hot tag spots for Montez Ford here where he gets some really nice clothesline ins. He gets that back suplex in and a standing moonsault. Doing those moves in such succession so well and so quickly never ceases to impress me. Like, this is so great. But we do have a backstage distraction because, of course, of Karrion Kross and Scarlett wiping out Bobby and B-Fab. And this ends with Karrion Kross and Scarlett having done so and mocking the champagne and telling the prophets that they're missing a great party backstage. Dawkins gets distracted. Ford tries from the heavens, but Theory gets his knees up and grabs a schoolboy for the win. That combined with our post-match for me is too much going on. Mm-hmm. Like, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, in my opinion, are two seasons of veterans to be distracted by a backstage whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is very cheesy. And I'm like, okay, but it at least played into the match and into our ending here. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory going on to win this makes good enough sense. Any thoughts on that? Because then we'll talk about the post-match.
Yeah, this is, they're spinning their wheels with this. It's yeah. really hasn't, the crowd was not into it. Yeah, they were into the high spots, right? Because we love the athleticism that these dudes can do.
Montez, but outside Ford of that, is always going to show out. Like, listen, there's never a doubt about that.
Montez,
right?
So, baby, former U.S. Marine, sending love to him. Like, come on now. Doing incredible things that obviously I will never be able to do because I'll probably twist myself and kill my legs and back and everything else. No, I still want to walk. But, you know, other than that, this story has... And we've said this for multiple weeks, man, since it first started, when the first testament was turned into the final testament, it just wasn't my cup of tea. It wasn't going anywhere. And I still feel, unfortunately, Karrion Kross is just there, even with this group around him, there's just nothing.
I think it's because since they've been repackaged, this is the only thing they've done. And so... there hasn't been a lot to be explored. And I don't think it's been very good for the Street Profits either. So I think that puts a damper on the whole thing when you're like, this just isn't good for one of the groups. Like yeah. that takes away from what the other side is doing that is good. And then post-match, we get AOP coming out here to beat down the Street Profits. Kross and Scarlett heading down as well. And the Authors of Pain hitting the Super Collider on the Profits. Final Testament standing tall. And Bobby Lashley starts moving toward the rings to fight them off. And it hits a couple of referees in the process here. But AOP beat him down as well. And Bobby tries to fight, but he gets held up for the crosshammer. And Kross tells him that they're not going to Mania because he's failed the Prophets and himself. So to me, this just got really convoluted with the in-match distraction and the post-match. Like, it was so crowded. And I'm just of... the belief that sometimes you can just let wrestling do more of the work, right? Like, especially with an angle that already feels like it's stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
So rarely is the answer to getting out of the mud to pile on more layers of stuff. Like, it's to make it clean and simple to get out of there. And it just doesn't feel, unfortunately, like really anybody is benefiting from this, in my opinion. But any thoughts on our post-match here?
No, I'm ready for this to move on. Just put them... do whatever you got to do with either or. Just, and I feel like there is no creative going forward for like these massive groups right now. For them, yeah, at least these two.
It's a little weird. I think hopefully they'll split up those tag titles, and yeah. that'll help put some importance on the SmackDown tag division. But a bad robot saying, "What's worse, the Final Testament versus the Pride story, or Kate's lack of Sue?" I'm going to say that they're interconnected. I'm going to say this storyline would be off and running if they had just sent me a Bobby Lashley suit, because he would have been like, oh, I did the super generous thing for this gal who is going to wear her suits on Fightful Post shows now because I did this. And oh my gosh, because I feel so great. I have all these great ideas that I want to pitch. And WWE would be like, let's hear them. And then this would be the greatest story in the whole world. So I'm going to say that's the way to go. But any thoughts on that? I feel like they're really in lockstep with each other.
I'm with you, man. I'm just let's move forward. Let's just I feel bad for them, you know.
I get it.
And I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but and we saw this we'll talk about it with the next match, but we're seeing a lot of different stereotypes being grouped back together again in WWE, which is crazy. So, you know, like I want to see more, you know, just, I don't know what it is, the word that I'm looking for, but something has to change with these big groups. They're doing really good with the tag teams, but with the big factions, they're missing.
There's no stakes. There's no stakes.
Yeah, right.
Like it's tough. If you don't have trios titles, but you have these big factions, sometimes you can still do tag belts on a faction and have some wars there, right? Like you can put tag gold on 2/3 of a trio and still make something of it. Imperium's the perfect example of that. Yeah. Like they're a trio, but if you had gold on Imperium and Gunther on this IC title raid, I have no idea why those things were never aligned in their entire run so far. So I'm with you on that. It feels like we've got all these groups going on and I'm a big fan of factions, but you also need something for them to compete for.
Sure.
So we move along here to, we get some LWO and Legado action. We get Santo saying that basically he wants us to remember it was him who did things like put Rey on the shelf and said, well, he didn't get Rey's leg amputated like he wanted, which I thought was so sick of a callback because that was one of the coldest lines I've ever heard. He says he did get to beat him down, which was great, and to beat him in the ring last week. He outsmarted Rey, and all it took was Dominic's participation, which brings Dom out. And essentially, we got a lot of call and response with the crowd play here. But Dom basically just wants to continue to make Rey's life difficult. And then we get Rey coming out here. And he says it's a shame that Dom is here because he thought they were done fighting, which I liked a lot because just because you aren't fighting doesn't mean you're on good terms, but it does mean things are at bay. So Rey being like, and now you're back. Like, what the hell is good stuff? And now he wants back in on this whole thing and he challenges Escobar and Dom to a tag team match with the partner of Rey's choice. And he reveals it to be Dragon Lee after Dom kind of runs everyone down, which is the right choice. I will say that much because as Dom is running everybody down, I was kind of like, Dragon Lee's going to come out, right? he's the guy because one of them is already a tag team and Carlito just doesn't have the snap that he used to anymore, right? So you don't want to cherry pick one of the two guys from the tag team that's already in existence, and you definitely don't want Rey and Carlito, I don't think is the way to go there. Would you have Dragon Lee available? Dragon Lee runs down. He's in an LWO shirt. He's officially in LWO. This is good. And we have some clarity around what the programming is going to be for Dominic, who, whilst not one of my faves, is massively over, and Rey. And you can kind of set up a little dalliance for them longer term. You could set up a singles match between Rey and Dom at SummerSlam or tease that throughout the next year for next WrestleMania or whatever. There's a lot of possibilities there. So Escobar and Dom versus Dragon Lee and Rey, I think is a good use of talent. I don't know where it kind of goes on the card, but I don't know if it has to go anywhere fancy or special. Your thoughts on this LWO Legado segment?
It was bound to happen. These two factions were about to, like, you know, they've been kind of like soloing it in different, you know, basically circles, you know, trying to fight each other. But this is big, and this is heading to be a bloody war soon between these two. I as much as I love LWO, gosh, like El Fantasma is just something else. Like, he's out there, the way he talks and he's telling you the story of everything that's happening. It's just, it's great. The man has just charisma oozing all over him. And having Dom there was weird for me because Dom obviously is part of something else right now. And I don't want to question it. I'm going to just let it play out. I do that a lot with these things. I want to see where it's going to go. And if this is the way to truly end the feud between Rey and his son, or maybe just escalates at WrestleMania and then we have a SummerSlam blow off, like between them finally like ending things. But I hope that this turns out well and it's not a pre-show match. I want this to like,
yeah,
exactly what it's starting to feel like. It's going to be a pre-show match for them.
And I agree with you that it's weird that Dom is here, and I think it's because we're a week out from Mania. Yeah. If this was like 4 weeks ago, I would be a little bit more like, okay, because there's some dissension within Judgment Day, which I guess we could talk about right now, which is a perfectly good time of seeing Judgment Day kind of complaining about miscommunication. We saw that on Raw this past Monday as well. Mm-hmm. But Rhea's like, did he tell you guys? Because he didn't tell me. And Finn is like, well, what the heck is going on of late? Mm-hmm. And Dom wanders in and says that he just wanted to handle business on his own and apologizes. Yeah. And Finn asks if there's anything else he should tell them about. And JD walks him to the trainer's room because Dom is hurting a little bit after some beat down. But Damian Priest says that this is too important for them as a group and individuals. So it seems like we're getting this like Dominic peel away from Judgment Day a little bit, which I'd imagine would lead to dissension overall. It's time, in my opinion. I was never like the biggest Judgment Day gal anyway, but Damian Priest has the briefcase and has felt so unimportant, unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, which is a bummer because that device now 2 years in a row. Last year it was used to cash it on the U.S. title during an open challenge. Ugh, to all that. And this year, we've had so much, like, cash in blue balls with Judgment Day.
Damn.
And I know, I was like, do I have a blue chip segue? I don't. But with the rise of Drew McIntyre and all these great baby faces that we have, the Cody story, all these things in play, Seth being injured, like, it just has not, and I think Damian Priest is great, but the creative and the importance of the briefcase have just not been emphasizing that. Feels like the briefcase is a device to help further the breakup between Judgment Day. I'm kind of sick of people cashing in and losing. It happens more and more and more. But what do you think of this Judgment Day segment? Do you think we're getting Dom just peeling away here, or are we going to lead to a full-on breakup of the stable?
Yeah, I mean, with everything that's with what we're predicting that might happen at Mania, right? We might be seeing the downfall here. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, probably need to go solo and kind of need to go their own way, especially Finn. I feel like Finn is such a superstar on his own. He's felt lost and like not even mid-cardness in his own team. Like he does not
feel like a tag champion.
No. And then you have the briefcase has been a prop. Basically, you're not leading me to be like excited at all for any Money in the Bag matches, because this is the way it's been portrayed now for the last couple years, you know? So it's just, I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Kind of, directly in the line of fire of Vince is in charge. No, Hunter's in charge. No, Vince is in charge. Hunter's in charge. Like, I feel like a lot of the start and stop that we've gotten has been probably pretty directly related to that. But
sure.
Jerry Allen asking, where do you rank Final Boss Rock in the Rock gimmicks? So I wasn't really watching during the Attitude Era. And I don't really like watching the Attitude Era because it's the polar opposite of the things that I like about this. Since I started watching in 2009, real time, my watching of The Rock, this is far and away my favorite. That largely has to do with the fact that the first time he returned, he beat CM Punk, which pissed me off because I was the biggest CM Punk gal in the world. And I thought CM Punk mopped the floor with him on the mic. The Cena Twice in a Lifetime stuff. Matches didn't really live up to the hype for me, especially the second one. So this is my favorite of the stuff that I've seen since he's returned. I'm much more interested in heel Rock than I am face Rock. And I'm also just more into heels in general, like from characters I generally am. But I loved Hollywood Rock when I do go back and watch stuff. Very short-lived era of The Rock. But for me, having watched in real time since 09, this is actually my favorite version of him. You were watching in real time a lot more than I was. Where does this rank for you?
Yeah, I mean, it fits in line. He's hitting in all cylinders. He's also bringing in the right eyes. This, you know, whoever stepped away and loves The Rock is watching, you know, kind of history come back around for themselves, you know, and they're living it. They love it. Where does this go after he leaves? Are they going to stay? Do they follow? Do they just, oh, The Rock's not here anymore, so why am I going to watch these guys that I don't even know on television, right? But for me, it's really fun to watch, number one. And I feel like he's living out what he hasn't done in the big screen. He's tried, you know, when he was trying to play Black Adam on DC, that movie was just, unfortunately, it flopped. And I think that he's a bigger character now as Hollywood Rock with the lightning and everything that he was trying to portray in Black Adam. It's working for him, and I love it. It's just, there's something special going on with this. And, you know, I suggest that anyone who's listening to me right now, enjoy this. Because this is what I, you know, as a kid was watching, and it was really fun to kind of like live that. And there's a certain version of it coming to life right now for everyone. And I hope that everyone just kind of enjoys it before he kind of moves on and does, you know, he has the UFL coming up and all this other stuff. So
sure.
The man's going to be super busy.
You can also catch me and Alex Pulaski reviewing The Rundown, which was The Rock's first real movie role.
The Rundown, yes.
On Fightful Select, Sean joined us at the end of it to talk about Road Trip for a really long time for some reason. I don't know why, but we did. And we also, my favorite part of it, because I wasn't watching during that time, was we had like a pretty good discussion about The Rock's movie career in lockstep with his coming back to WWE and how after Goldberg, he just basically never did. Like everyone kind of thought like, oh, he's going to come here. He's going to put Goldberg over, go make a movie, come back. Kind of more like The Miz has actually done in more recent years.
Sure.
Go away to film something, come back. So it was actually very, I was excited to learn about that because I didn't realize like the time periods with stuff. But we are going to bring on Corey Brennan here in just a second. Oh. He's got some news and notes for you coming right up. But before we do, as a baseball fan and having experienced opening day, I was very excited to watch with my friends at the Shining Wizards podcast. You can give them a follow at Wizards Podcast. Had a wonderful time talking some opening day, but not everybody has a fun time because they can't access baseball because distro is a disaster. But I'll tell you how you can.
Damn it.
I'll tell you one service that can help you out, and that's NordVPN.com.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fight. I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need. In addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Very true. I do use it, by the way. I use Nord for everything now.
It is the best deal in the game when you use
Can I give you a little bit before Corey jumps in here? If you guys have Disney Plus and you decide to change, if you have NordVPN, which you could download to your Apple TV or your phone or wherever, anywhere, anyway, you could download in your bathroom tub. If you guys change over to the UK, you get Hulu for free in your freaking Disney Plus subscription. If you have Disney Plus, go into your TV or wherever you're watching from, switch it over to the UK, and you'll automatically see a little tile called Star, which is basically Hulu, and you'll see all the programming there. You don't have to pay anything extra. It's just in there. It's included.
That's awesome. Alex Cardoza with the scoop. My goodness.
It's over, baby.
But Corey Brennan.
Yeah.
Who has once again decided not to be a coward and decided to join us here on the SmackDown show.
Every goddamn time, Kate. Seriously. No, see, this is the thing, yeah? I've been on two shows today. I was in the weeds this morning. Now on this first time I've done two shows in one day. I'm doing Coexisted next week. I'm everywhere right now, but I'm still apparently a coward. It's not fair.
Well, you and your damn fake accent. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't even. Nah. Nah.
We all know you're Dominican.
Corey, the only way you will prove you're not a coward is when you get scoops, even on weeks where they're not taping. Okay, that is the only way you can redeem yourself. So but
defying every news report and like idea ever.
Yeah, you have to get scoops even when there are none. The internet doesn't care, so why should I? But Corey, I'm in the weeds this morning on a completely different time zone than we are. God bless you for even being awake, but I have no idea what Corey's about to say. Who knows where this is going to go, okay? Because Corey just said, Kate, I got scoops for you. I got notes for you. I want to come out and talk about it. What you got for us?
Listen, it's very clear that I am not Sean. I am not the guy. I don't have the same level of stuff that Sean does.
That's the basis of your appeal. You're not like Sean. You're not going to be showing up in battle royals on indie shows. Thank God.
Don't put words in my mouth, Kate, please. No, so from what I've heard about the show, is just it's just again. Tonight was SmackDown Showdown was one that there was a bit of not worry, but not concern or anything like that. But it was kind of there was no Roman, no Cody, no Rock. So first time in a couple of weeks that SmackDown was carried by just the workhorses of the brand, really. So there was a bit of concern about that. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be the case, especially considering how Jade was. Jade's entrance was one that I was told was rehearsed heavily earlier. Obviously, it's a very, very extra entrance for an extra superstar. That was one that was kind of met with everyone was almost in silence as she was making her entrance, kind of just watching it because it's to be fair, it is that kind of entrance.
Sure.
Let me see. Other than that, really, there was some consideration and some talk. Now, this is nothing concrete, but with that lasting shot at the end of the show with Bianca, Naomi, and Jade, there were some people that saw that, and there was just an instant reaction backstage of, that is money. That is 3 stars. Right there, they're going to be at WrestleMania. They're going to team together at WrestleMania, and so on. They were really happy with how Jade came across, not only in her promo but also in her attack of Damage Control. Obviously, she's been working in the PC. She had that nice transition into the Jaded on Kairi. The LWO and Legado segment was also one that got a lot of praise, especially Dominic. Dominic, again, as a lot of people know, they're paying a lot of attention to him and how he's developing on the microphone, in the ring, and so on and so forth. And they were really happy with how he stepped up in this segment. And I was told that the part of the segment backstage with Judgment Day, I was told to pay attention to that segment. There's a lot of hints being dropped in that segment that are going to become very clear in the coming weeks and after WrestleMania, maybe even before at WrestleMania. I was told that nothing concrete on that, but I just said I'd share that note. And finally, 1 second, I'm just checking my notes really quick.
You're good. This all kind of came together rather last minute, but we were talking about that Legado LWO segment. With Judgment Day, and one thing that I really like with WWE is how many intersections we get of storylines. I know that's something that actually Meltzer criticized AEW for, and I thought it was a pretty sound criticism of there's actually a lot of stories going on in AEW. They just don't interweave very much. WWE is very good at that, and with so many different groups like this, it creates interesting possibilities of where could Dominic go if he peels off, would he turn babyface, all of these things. So just to put a punctuation mark on what you had said, I think it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, is a lot of people were expecting a four on four or something like that. I'm told that the reason why that wasn't really ever considered in plans is because of Joaquin and Cruz's NXT stuff going on right now. They don't want to mix the two up, especially considering that this still may be at Stand and Deliver. So I understand that one. One thing that I was told that I found that I think people find quite interesting is there's been not a directive, but there's been it's under Triple H. It's something that I've been told by a couple of people now is that he does want to kind of get rid of that kind of stereotype of babyfaces not being that, well, I wouldn't say smart, but they kind of end up.
they're not smart and they don't have friends. Like it's one of the pain points that can be really frustrating of almost, not smart, but like there's a naivety to every babyface of like, certainly nobody's going to come out and even a numbers game or whatever, like those kinds of things where they're never anticipating stuff. I'm always so impressed with like a Becky Lynch because she never seems to fall in those traps. And we've gotten away from that with a lot of the Bayley stuff who saw all this coming with damage control, right? So to hear you say that makes sense to me because we kind of are getting a little bit smarter in babyface world. Mm-hmm.
It was especially tonight, obviously, we saw Randy with Logan. He jumped out of the ring. He looked at the Titantron. He asked fans where Logan was. That's how he found him. So, again, that's Randy being Randy and being one of the best in the companies. And he knows how to connect with fans like that. And other than that, there's only one more note. It's not specific to tonight's show, but it's one that I haven't talked about yet. The long takes that you're seeing on each show, the ones that have come from that have come in since Kevin Dunn left the company, have been largely a Triple H directive. He especially is very happy with how they've turned out, and he is a big fan of them. So expect to see them more. This is something that me and Sean are probably going to work up something big on how production has changed since Kevin Dunn left and Lee Fitting took over. I think Sean said to me that we were thinking maybe after Mania or so. That's something to keep your eye out for. That's something that I've been compiling a lot of stuff on. I know Sean's been looking into a lot of stuff to do it as well. And it should be fun to have another reporter me and Sean work together on.
Yeah, and we even talked about how refreshing things like the Io Sky interview that we got earlier in this episode are from the perspective of it feels fresh, it feels modern, and Bailey's attack didn't feel so telegraphed in that regard. Like, it's really, really nice to see these production changes. Much more modern and feeling product. I'm a West Wing fan, so you give me a long walk and talk shot, I'm a happy gal. Like, I'm in on those. But very, very nice to have those changes coming into play. And I look forward to reading what you and Sean come up with, because I think that'll be an interesting kind of behind-the-scenes thing.
And just, I just managed to find this out literally as I'm talking here about
my God, could it be any hotter off the press? Let's go.
So I just got told that Jade's entrance is something that has been worked on for a couple of weeks now. This is not something that just came together tonight or they got to the arena and decided. This is something that they've been developing for a while. It's something that could change. It had a lot of people's input. It's something that over the next few weeks we could see some differentiations, but the basic outline of the entrance was what we saw tonight. So if you see any small changes in her entrance, maybe some different lighting, maybe they might even change her music slightly. Who knows? Because it's already kind of a remix as is of her AEW theme. But I don't personally, now this is personal opinion, I don't think they should change a thing. I think they couldn't have nailed it any better with Jade tonight. Like I said on Twitter, I thought it was one of the best entrances I've seen in a while, a new entrance especially. So that's kind of all I really have right now. But yeah, it's something that to keep an eye on, especially because I think they're really, really focusing on trying to present Jade as that level of star, and I think that entrance is the perfect way to do it.
Now, me being a geek in film and TV, the only nugget that I did not like was when she was in the ring with the light behind her. It wasn't working for me. I know what they were trying to do was trying to get that silhouette out of her. It did not work one bit. I think what they need is just more lighting above her to kind of shine her body out. because it just looked like just a back shot, like, you know, light coming up from behind her. So it was very miss. I wanted to see, you know, that silhouette of the muscles and everything. And instead of what I got was just, it just was dark. So I hope that they change that, because, man, she is a physical specimen.
Yeah.
Punch me in the face.
She's going to be a lot of fun. The only thing I think from the theme perspective is if the three of them work together, like, consistently for a while, I would want them to have, like, a group theme, because they're just such, like, a badass group of ladies that they should have a theme that's a cohesive unit. But I think they nailed it tonight. My only complaint about the entrance was, like, felt a little similar to what we just got from The Rock a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
But she's been advertised as the Storm since, so you kind of can't just abandon that direction because they did something cool with The Rock. Like, that's not how that works. So, but I think ace is all around. Corey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing that
with us. Let's go.
Stay tuned to Fightful Select for more information on that. Corey, working hard over there in the UK for us as always. So thank you.
No, okay. No, I'm not going. No. That is no. I'm not going anywhere until I get an apology for that statement.
Oh, no. Wow. I think his internet just cut out.
Corey, working hard
Who's
for
the
us
coward now? Who's
in
the coward
Ireland
now, huh? Who's the coward now, Kay? Well,
here's the thing, Corey, I know I'm a coward, okay? I don't have a problem admitting that whatsoever.
Okay,
I am
the
heel here, okay?
I'm it's just about a third drive, wheel
it's about
right
power
now.
We say hungry, you're a coward, that's what I say, okay?
So. Maybe we should call him Team Bad.
No, I think we've done that. I don't think
we've.
Need...
I've never heard of that
we'll
one before.
Take no submission.
Yankees go up 6-1, baby. Let's go.
All right, let's go. We're having a good night tonight. We're having a good night tonight.
God, shower
Thank
me
you.
With love and
sincerely
everything.
To Corey Brennan for all the work that he has on tonight. He's normally our NXT scoopster, but working hard from Ireland across time zones, across. Days and nights.
Literally.
Saying Kate is ice cold. Her bangs are white hot. I'll take it. I have another hot scoop coming in. I can't say this has been double verified, but Pedro's saying that SRS has entered the battle royal. Well, my goodness. Having some fun over there at Black Label Pro. They, as always, are raising money for charity. So nice. please go and support anything that Sean does wrestling wise is a charity venture, so we appreciate that about
someone banned Michael Dammit on the chat.
Oh, he can just say whatever he wants, but you know, we just prefer people pay to say those things. You know what I mean?
Well, he said, you know, that's just mean, Michael.
That is just mean, but
right? Okay.
If we're 2-0, he could say whatever he wants. That's all I'm gonna say. But...
okay.
We talked a lot about Jade and this badass group of ladies that is forming. And in the back, we get Bianca Belair kind of warming up and Naomi coming over to her and promising her that if things go sideways, she's going to be there for her, which I really liked. I like Naomi understanding where Bianca's coming from and lending her loyalty to her. And Bianca just kind of says, you know what? You're right. Like, I've been the one that's kind of off base. I like these, like, heelish flares that we've getting for Bianca. I think it could still be a fun way to go. But I like her appreciating and accepting Naomi's help with this. She says, you want to help fight damage control? They've been making my life a living hell. Let's do it. And Naomi kind of says, like, if we're going to get rid of them, let's get rid of them. We can do this together. And hypes up Bianca. So a nice little hype up segment. Not a ton. If there's anything you want to comment on there, feel free to.
Did you read the chat?
I did not. I'm looking at my notes. Oh, no. SRS for Cheese King. Oh, no. And he's eliminated already.
He's there with us,
I can't wait to troll him after. He should come on the post show. His work day's over.
If you don't want to be as quick as SRS, try Moochu.
If you don't want to be eliminated so quickly, BlueChew.com, code Fightful. That's very funny that he was in and out that fast.
Please,
but if you don't
want to
be in and out
time.
That fast, BlueChew.com,
code Fightful. Oh my God. I love this show.
It's the best. We get the new Catch Republic. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, my techers. Every time they say techers on television, it warms my heart. I swear they're doing it just for me. Versus Legado. in a very fun match, and we get New Catch Republic winning with the double Birminghammer for the win, which is a fun little pun here. I love these guys. I really do. I love their style of wrestling. I love everything about them. Standout spot for me was when Tyler Bate tagged in and he was in there with Angel Garza and just boom, T-bone suplex, running shooting star press in succession. I'm like, you're that strong and that agile and fast back to back like that. Saw that from Montez earlier in their night. Just really incredible stuff to me of like what you can do with such strength and speed. This was another one that got hampered by the commercial break, unfortunately, to me. It kind of chopped up the flow of it a little bit, but all four of them were great in this. An interesting, like, resurgence with the tag stuff, I feel like. It was nice to see Pretty Deadly getting rebuilt in this. It's nice to see the New Catch Republic kind of clicking in here. They're the most for-me tag team that's probably in WWE right now. Like, they've got the technical side. Tyler Bate is just kind of, he's the big strong boy, right? Like a freak of nature with some of this stuff. I love their combination together. This was for me. The commercial break's kind of killing it for me a little bit, but other than that, a ton of fun, and Angel and Umberto also great. So I loved this. What did you think?
I agree. They've really injected some life into the tag team, away from the tag team title picture, which is great because now you're able to see what these guys can do. And you know, your techers, man, they're proven. I think they might be the team to beat, to be honest.
I wish that was the case. I really think it's going to be Awesome Truth, but I don't think Awesome Truth will have an extended run. I think they could be one of those ones.
Don't know why they continue trying with this kid. I mean, it's unfortunate. The U.S. title picture was not as strong as I thought it should be. And it would just, I think it'll be just as bad as having Judgment Day be champions right now.
I don't think, if it's R-Truth and Miz, I don't think, remember when Raw After Mania used to be like a thing?
Wait, you said you think...
I think Awesome Truth is going to win. R-Truth and Miz.
Awesome Truth. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, never mind. Yeah. I got confused there. Yeah. No. If they win, it's totally different. Then, yeah. Then you got fun.
I think it could be one of those ones that they lose at Backlash or even the next day on Raw. Like, I think that one's just so for the moment and nothing else.
Yeah.
But I want them to split the titles. Both programs need a set of titles when you have this many good tag teams around.
My apologies. I got confused there.
Damn. No, that's okay. Who did you think I was talking about?
Waller, I don't know. For some reason in my head, I thought I was talking about Waller and
A-Town Down Under.
A-Town Down Under. Yeah, I was like, wait, what? No, wait. Are they? I was like, I was so confused. Blue Chew ad got me.
Well, we don't have a Blue Chew ad tonight.
I know, but you still.
But if I wanted to lay bets.
Oh, Jesus.
On tag team wrestling at WrestleMania. If I wanted to lay bets on anything. If I wanted to lay bets on if Alabama was going to ban Pornhub, I could go over to Bet Online AG. I'm not kidding. That is a prop bet that they had open. They have bets on a lot more than wrestling. Sean Rossap is here to tell you all about it.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful, here to tell you about Bet Online AG, the highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
If you wanted to bet on like how long Sean Rossap was going to be in that battle royal, I hope you took the under on whatever they were throwing out there. Oh, I hope everybody watched along and cheered and then booed and then had fun. So, but we got some super chats about The Rock. not even on the show, but people are still interested in what's going on here. Will saying, the final boss of The Rock made my daughter cry for what he did to Cody. I'm so proud. The Instagram stuff, too, was aces of him doing the, like, yeah, the camera's cut away, but I still was beating the hell out of this guy stuff, even though I'm sure that was planned. Really good. Really, really good. It felt like for so long, people have been calling for a modernized Attitude Era, which is not my thing. But this felt like a modernized Attitude Era that was good. Like, it... the problem with the modern era, Attitude Era, is mostly like the misogyny and a lot of the humor is outdated and like those kinds of things. But the entertainment factor was off the charts, right? So doing something like what we got on Monday night, I think, was very fun, except for the fact that the women's match got 2 minutes. So that stayed true.
Attitude Era.
I was just going to say that stayed true. That stayed true to the Attitude Era. And the tag match, who do you start with?
Oh, man.
Cody and Dwayne? Because that's where the most heat has been, I guess? Maybe?
Yeah. You start the show with that?
Well, start the main event with that.
That's
just going to be the event. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Never mind.
But
sorry.
Which two wrestlers are in the ring?
They're splitting it on both nights. That's right. Yeah. Freak. I was thinking... Yeah, no, yeah. I forgot about the 2-night thing. Why do I always forget that WrestleMania is 6 nights long? I forget all the time.
It's a week now. It's a week. Might also be fun to start with Seth and Roman, because they have such history there that hasn't really been alluded to. It might be fun to watch some of it play out. So let it play out. That's a good question. I'd probably start with Cody and The Rock because you want those holy ass chants are going to be going on for like 20 minutes.
Sure. So.
Start with the heat, brother. But we move on to this AJ Styles LA Knight thing, and I don't know how I feel about what we're getting out of this anymore.
No.
But earlier we saw AJ backstage with Adam Pearce saying, LA Knight's not going to be here, right? And Adam Pearce was like, I'm sorry, Nick Aldis was like, I told him not to. And AJ was like, yeah, right. So here we have... AJ saying it's been a bit over a week, and then he blames the crowd for some reason.
Yeah.
For saying that LA Knight came to his house and attacked him, and the crowd was the reason why. That made no sense to me. But he says he should have pressed charges, which he probably should have, and made LA Knight miss WrestleMania. But AJ wants the biggest possible spotlight when he exposes this overachieving, under-talented piece of trash for what he is. Yeesh. And he uses that as a bait line because he starts kind of looking around for LA Knight. He knows he's there. And my God, he's dressed in security garb. Would you believe such a thing?
I would have never guessed.
But LA Knight heads to the ring. He has a chair and he swings it, but AJ avoids the chair. AJ flew 27 hours across the world or whatever to break into Elimination Chamber with a chair. So he was prepared for this. He knows what this looks like, but... Knight is on the chase with the chair, and AJ goes to the back and through the crowd. But LA Knight gets on the mic and stands up on the announce table, throws some insults his way, tells him to run, hide, do whatever he wants. But at WrestleMania, he's going to make sure AJ knows whose game this is and what everyone is saying. LA Knight. Yeah. So, I liked the beginning of this feud better than I like where it's evolved. I liked work rate guy who thinks all this talk is a bunch of crap and wants to get in the ring and beat someone's ass. And I liked S talker who doesn't really care about in ring, just wants to be entertaining and beat people up. That to me was the story. And then we're flying to Elimination Chamber and breaking into people's houses or whatever. So this went too far for me, but good enough. Here, what's amazing to me is how over LA Knight is still.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they haven't done a good job of keeping him hot, but the crowd still reacts, which I love to see that, because a lot of times guys get white hot and then they cool off and nobody cares. Crowd is still full in yeah mode on this. What were you saying?
Not into it. Not. I mean, besides, you know, LA Knight just still being charismatic as hell, I don't, this hasn't really gone anywhere for me. At all. I don't know why they're even beefing. Like, It's nothing to like go over to someone's house when they still have their Christmas wreaths up on the door and beat the crap out of them, you know? But
that's fair.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was told it was an Easter wreath, by the way.
Oh, it was. Okay. Breaking news, everyone.
Which is fair. Which is fair.
It's the same thing. It's the second Christmas, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, this was him rising from the dead.
Yeah, I call it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Christmas is him getting born. Completely different.
I mixed up all of my holidays.
You did. You're a mess tonight, I say.
Jesus. I mean, not like that. Oh, man. Friday nights, everybody.
See, Digital is like, I'm glad LA Knight knows that when you're chasing someone out of the ring and they get out of the ring, you don't have to stay in the ring. Little things like that, right? Make it feel so much less sterile, I'll say. Very refreshing. And a good point. A lot of the production changes are paying off. A lot
very
of the production.
Much so. Yeah.
Get a quick just a glow up video from Tiffany Stratton saying that basically she's a badass Barbie and she's here to kick butt.
That's awesome.
And then we move on to our main event, which is Bianca Belair and Dakota Kai. We love gals main eventing. Very fun match. Nice to see Dakota Kai back in action. Bianca winning with the KOD, not a surprise. Nor is the beatdown from the Kabuki Warriors, who attack, and then we get Jade back out here, who changed into quite the gear. If I looked like that, I would wear her gear everywhere. I'm just saying. If I was a physical specimen like her, that is, I am going to the supermarket in that outfit. She looked amazing. Jesus. But she plants all three of them. She big boot, power bomb, and then her finisher, which was known as the Jaded. I don't know if it still is going to be, but looked good on all three spots. Naomi's out there as well, and we get a stare down of this 3-on-3, which I think is great. Jade looks like $1 million. She came into this. If we're getting this at Mania, I think that's good, but my God, two Manias in a row where the tag titles are not defended for the women is bad. That is just bad. Have them defend it at least on the Friday night or something. Like, it, I love the program that they built out, so I don't want to be negative about it, because I think they're building something really special and cool. I think it's a way to make everybody look good. I think Damage Control could have kind of a downfall if they lose and Io loses and they have to recollect. I think there's a lot of things that you could do, but you gotta, what is the point of having tag belts then? Like, they're not in NXT. They're not defended on the main roster. Even when they were at their hottest, when Chelsea Green had them, they were not defended very often. So they got to get those heated up and cooking again. But I'm very excited for the program that they are giving us. It's just they don't need the belts to do that. So figure something out. What did you think of this go-home match and this ending segment? I agree with what Corey said was being received backstage of, like, that ending shot was just all the money in the world standing in the ring at once.
Sure. I mean, there's something there. An unpopular comment I'm going to say, I'm going to let it play out. I'm going to see how the money comes in. Because things can change. Things might not look well. We haven't seen Jade in a WWE ring.
Well, we saw Royal Rumble.
Rumble, right. So I want to see the longevity of these storylines and what she's going to be doing in the ring. Is she going to be protected by being put in a group right now? Or is she going to go badass solo and kind of just kick ass? You get what I'm saying? So I want to see where this is going to go. There is money in all three of them. I love it, but I want to see where it's going to go and how these stories are going to be told. Because, you know, we've been concentrating so much on just Damage Control that I want to see what we can branch out to.
I agree. And I think the fact that Bianca had these like heel flares before makes me wonder, like, what's going to happen there? Is she going to turn in the match? Is she going to turn after? Are they going to set up a program for Backlash? Will a tag team emerge out of this?
And SummerSlam, SummerSlam is not that far, guys. And it's another, it's the biggest party of the summer. So, you know, we got,
Backlash is in France, right? So there's a lot. They go big for those international shows. Yeah. So
did the Germany one happen already? Am I lost?
No, that's after.
That's after, later. Right?
Yeah, because I'm assuming something big will be happening with our
a lot of wrestling.
Gunther. There is a lot of international wrestling, which makes me very happy.
Yeah,
Arena Mexico was sold out tonight. Yes, because of the AEW partnership, or it certainly helped. I don't know if they normally sell out, but my goodness, they did media down there, and they're doing all sorts of cool stuff. So, for Luis's birthday, selling out Arena Mexico, you got Stephanie Vacure in the ring with Willow Nightingale, which makes me very happy. Good stuff. But Jerry Allen saying Bayley should have never won Rumble. She's not more over than Jade, Bianca Stratton, or Naomi. I completely disagree with that. I think Bayley is deserving of a Rumble win. I think it suited the story perfectly well. I don't think if you're the most over person in the company, that means that you should win Rumble necessarily. Bianca held the title long enough. Tiffany has not been here long enough. Jade, they're clearly rolling out very carefully. I think Rumble served the story perfectly, and I think Bayley is probably as over as ever and as invaluable as ever. So giving her the title and letting her make some of these newer stars look really, really good, I think is going to be a good thing. But we'll quickly give you our Rampage rundown as we celebrate Luis's birthday.
Luis.
That was our episode of SmackDown for tonight. But on Rampage, you had Dustin Rhodes beating the Butcher, Bullet Club Gold visiting Billy Gunn's house to see him, and he was not there. They made fun of the Gunns for not having pictures of
what
himself.
What is happening with people going to each other's house?
I don't know. A lot of house visits, but some news about where Jay White has been on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. If you have been like, where the heck is Jay White? There's answers. Deonna Purrazzo picking up a win against Rose. Video package of Ospreay and Danielson ahead of their AEW Dynasty match, which is going to be one of the best matches in the world, my friends. Mariah May defeating Nikita, who had a great ROH showing as well. I'm assuming that ruled because Mariah May is awesome at a lot of things. Lexi Nair interviewed Zack Knight and Harley Cameron backstage, but Knight was attacked by Angelo Parker from behind in Soho. Met with Parker after the brawl, leading Parker to steal a kiss from Ruby. Love is alive on Rampage. We got a vignette for the Righteous. And we get Roddy defeating Daddy Magic. Good for Roddy. Good for Daddy Magic for getting a rep in there. And Cassidy and Trent trying to make the save for Menard, but the Undisputed Kingdom attacking him. And the Bucks coming. I'm sorry. Your EVPs. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson coming in to lay them out. So some really, really, really good stuff going on there. A lot of fun stuff happening on CMLL as well. It's Luis's birthday, so I'm going to give you some of the highlights here. The national tag titles. I'm going to, you know what, Alex, you can read it if you want to pronounce these names properly, because I'm going to screw them all up. And I feel
all right. Los Depredadores, Magnus and Rugido. I think you... Neoni Brillante Jr., you got this. Andrade's cousin, you know, I know him. I went to school with him. We got the CML National Light Heavyweight title, Esfinge. There you go.
There you go.
Defeating Zandokan Jr. Give you a little Spanish there. Para mi gente que habla español aquí en Fightful. Ooh. I just started a Spanish Fightful show. I don't know why I haven't pitched that.
You should. You and Denise.
I just don't have enough time for that, right?
Did you scroll down? There's more.
Oh, wait. My thing is...
Averno defeating Barbaro.
I am so sorry about that. Averno defeated Barbaro Gavernario. Ooh, he's a barbarian who eats people. Hey, Mass Quadrugalo. Pierrocito versus Acero versus Angelito versus Pequeño Olímpico is happening right now. The 2024 Torneo de Parejas Increíbles. Finals.
Rocky Romero. I know that one.
Rocky
Romero. I don't mascara too.
Rocky Romero.
Atlantis
Máscara Jr. Dorada versus Atlantis Jr. y Soberano Jr. is yet to happen. Lluvia, which is rain. Zeuxis. I don't even know how to say that in Spanish. And Stephanie Vaquer versus Willow Nightingale. La Cantalina and Tessa
Someone
Blanchard.
Someone else. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was, you saw my face. I was like, did I read that right? TNCML, Ultimo Guerrero, Blue Panther, Volador Jr., and Místico versus the BCC. As we know, it's Matt Sydal, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Brian Danielson.
Also coming up, that is a massive card. I only know the ones that are on New Japan Strong. I'm sorry, Luis, but it's your birthday, so we're very happy about the CMLL crossover that's happening.
Feliz cumpleaños, Luis.
Very happy birthday to him. Thank you so much. And thank you, Alex, for reading those so that I don't sound like an idiot.
You're not. I got a shirt for you that says honorary Puerto Rican. So, or honorary Latina.
I'm sure I will confuse everyone.
No,
this face is like, I wonder if, but guys, that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much. We have a loaded WrestleMania week coming up next week. You're going to see a lot of Joel Pearl next week, including with Alex for your SmackDown show, as I will be in Philadelphia for that. Also on Wednesday, I believe you're getting Joel Pearl and Alex Pulowski, because Sean will be busy. Got to figure out what's going on with ROH, but your WrestleMania post shows will continue as normal. So stay tuned to Fightful Social Media for what the rest of that week is going to look like. Happy birthday, Luis.
Yes.
We adore you. Everyone have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We're out of here.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.